Chapter 80. This chapter relates how Lord Krishna worshipped his Brahmin friend Sudama, who came to Krishna's palace seeking charity, and how the two of them discussed the pastimes they had once shared while living at the home of their spiritual master Sandipani Muni. Sudama the Brahmana, a personal friend of Lord Krishna, was completely free of all material desires. Sudama maintained himself and his wife with whatever came of its own accord, and thus they were poverty-stricken. One day, Sudama's wife, unable to find any food to prepare for her husband, went to Sudama and asked that he visit his friend Krishna in Dwaraka and beg some charity. Sudama was reluctant, but when his wife persisted, Sudama agreed to go, reflecting that an opportunity to see Lord Krishna was extremely auspicious. Sudama's wife then begged a few handfuls of flattened rice as a gift for Sri Krishna, and Sudama set off for Dwaraka. As Sudama approached the palace of Lord Krishna's principal wife, Rukmini Devi, Krishna saw Sudama from a distance. Immediately, Krishna rose from his seat on Rukmini's bed and embraced his friend with great joy. Then, Krishna sat Sudama down on the bed, washed Sudama's feet with his own hands, and then sprinkled the wash water on his head. After this, Krishna presented Sudama with various gifts and worshipped Sudama with incense, lamps, and so on. Meanwhile, Rukmini fanned the shabbily dressed Brahmana with a yak-tail whisk. All of this astonished the residents of the palace. Lord Sri Krishna then took the hand of his friend Sudama, and the two of them reminisced about the things they had done together long ago while living in the school of their spiritual master. Sudama pointed out that Krishna engages in the pastime of acquiring an education only to set an example for human society. Chapter 81. This chapter describes how Lord Krishna ate a morsel of the flat rice brought by his friend Sudama, and then bestowed upon Sudama wealth greater than that of the King of Heaven. And in the course of his loving talks with his friend Sudama, Lord Krishna said, "My dear Brahmana, have you brought any gift for me from home? I regard as very significant even the smallest offering from my loving devotee." But the poor Brahmana Sudama was ashamed to present Krishna with his meager gift of flat rice. However, since Lord Krishna is the Super Soul dwelling in all hearts, Krishna knew why Sudama had come to visit him. And so, Krishna grabbed the bundle of flat rice Sudama was hiding and ate a handful of it with great pleasure. Krishna was about to eat a second morsel when Rukmini Devi stopped Krishna. Feeling as if he had gone back to Godhead, Sudama spent that night in Dwaraka, comfortably in Lord Krishna's palace, and the next morning, Sudama set off for home. As Sudama passed along the highway, Sudama thought how fortunate he was to have been so honored by Lord Sri Krishna. Absorbed in this meditation, Sudama arrived at the place where his home used to be, and Sudama was struck with great wonder. Instead of his broken-down hovel or primitive cottage, Sudama saw a series of opulent palaces. While Sudama stood there astonished, a group of beautiful men and women came forward to greet Sudama with singing and music. Sudama's wife, wonderfully adorned with celestial jewelry, came out of the palace welcoming Sudama with great love and reverence. Sudama entered his home together with his wife, thinking that this extraordinary transformation must have been due to the Supreme Lord's mercy upon him. From then on, Sudama lived his life amidst lavish wealth, and yet Sudama maintained his mood of detachment and constantly chanted the glories of Lord Krishna. Within a short time, Sudama broke off all bonds of bodily attachment and attained the kingdom of God. Chapter 82. This chapter describes how the Yadavas and many other kings met at Kurukshetra during a solar eclipse and discussed topics concerning Lord Krishna. It also relates how Krishna met Nanda Maharaj and the other residents of Vrindavan at Kurukshetra and gave them great joy. Hearing that a total eclipse of the sun was soon to occur, people from all over Bharatavarsha, including the Yadavas, converged at Kurukshetra just to earn special pious credit. And after the Yadus had bathed and performed other obligatory rituals, the Yadus noticed that kings of Matsya, Ushinara, and other places had also come, as well as Nanda Maharaj and the cowherder community of Braja, who were always feeling intense anxiety out of separation from Krishna. Overjoyed to see all these old friends, the Yadavas embraced them one by one, shedding tears of happiness. Their wives also embraced one another with great pleasure. And when Queen Kunti saw her brother Vasudeva and other family members, she put aside her sorrow. Yet, still she said to Vasudeva, "O brother, I am so unfortunate because all of you forgot me during my tribulations. Alas, even one's own relatives forget a person whom providence no longer favors. Oh, my dear sister, everyone is merely a plaything of fate. We Yadavas were so harassed by King Kamsa that we were forced to scatter and take shelter in foreign lands. So there was no way for us to keep in touch with you." All the kings present were struck with wonder upon beholding Lord Sri Krishna and his 16,108 wives. And the kings began to glorify the Yadavas for having gotten Krishna's personal association. Then, seeing Nanda Maharaj, the Yadavas were delighted, and each of them embraced Nanda Maharaj tightly. Vasudeva also embraced Nanda with great joy, remembering how, when Vasudeva was tormented by King Kamsa, Nanda had taken his sons, Krishna and Balaram, under his protection. Balaram and Krishna embraced and bowed down to Mother Yashoda, and their throats choked up with emotion, and they could say nothing to Yashoda. Nanda and Yashoda lifted their two sons onto their laps, embracing them, and in this way they relieved the distress of separation. Rohini and Devaki both embraced Yashoda, and remembering the great friendship Yashoda had shown them, told Yashoda that the kindness she had done by raising and supporting Krishna and Balaram could not be repaid even with the wealth of Indra. Then the Supreme Lord approached the gopis in a secluded place. Krishna consoled them, pointing out that Krishna is all pervasive, being the source of all energies, and thus Krishna implied that the gopis could never be separated from him. Having been at long last reunited with Krishna, the gopis prayed simply to have Krishna's lotus feet manifested in their hearts. Chapter 83. This chapter relates a conversation between Draupadi and Lord Krishna's foremost queens, in which each of them describes how Krishna married her. Lord Sri Krishna returned from his meeting with the gopis and then asked King Yudhisthira and his other relatives whether they were well. They replied, "My lord, anyone who has just once imbibed through his or her ears the honey of your pastimes can never know misfortune." Then Draupadi inquired from Lord Krishna's wives how Krishna had come to marry them. The first to speak was Queen Rukmini. "Many kings headed by Jarasandha were intent on giving me in marriage to Shishupal. Thus at my wedding, they all stood with bows in hand, ready to support Shishupal against any opponent. But Sri Krishna came and forcibly took me away, just as a lion takes his prey amidst goats and sheep." Then Queen Satyabhama spoke, "When my uncle Prasena was killed, my father Satrajit falsely accused Lord Krishna of murder. Just to clear his name, Krishna defeated Jambavan, recovered the Syamantaka jewel, and returned it to Satrajit. Repentant, my father presented Krishna with both the jewel and myself." Queen Jambavati said, "When Sri Krishna entered my father's cave in search of the Syamantaka jewel, at first my father Jambavan did not understand who Lord Sri Krishna was. So my father fought with Krishna for 27 days and nights. Finally, Jambavan understood that Lord Krishna was none other than his worshipful Lord Ramachandra. Thus, Jambavan gave Krishna the Syamantaka jewel along with me." And Queen Kalindi said, "To obtain Krishna as my husband, I performed severe austerity. Then one day, Lord Krishna came to me in the company of Arjuna, and at that time, Krishna agreed to marry me." Queen Mitravinda said, "Sri Krishna came to my Swayamvara ceremony, where Krishna defeated all the opposing kings and then took me away to his city of Dwaraka." And Queen Satya said, "My father stipulated that to win my hand, a prospective suitor would have to subdue and tie up 7 powerful bulls. Accepting this challenge, Lord Krishna playfully subdued them, defeated all his rival suitors, and then married me." And Queen Bhadra said, "My father invited his nephew Krishna, to whom I had already given my heart, and my father offered me to Krishna as his bride. The dowry was an entire military division, along with a retinue of my female companions." Queen Lakshmana then said to Draupadi, "At my Swarangvara, as at yours, Draupadi, a fish target was fastened near the ceiling. But in my case, the fish was concealed on all sides, and only its reflection could be seen in a pot of water below. Several kings tried to hit the fish with an arrow, but all the kings failed. Then Arjuna made his attempt. Arjuna concentrated on the reflection of the fish in the water and took careful aim. But when Arjuna released his arrow, it only grazed the target. Then Lord Sri Krishna fixed his arrow on the bow and shot it straight through the target, knocking it to the ground. I then placed the victory necklace on Sri Krishna's neck, but the kings who had failed raised a violent protest. Lord Krishna valiantly fought them, cutting off the heads, arms, and legs of many of the kings, sending the rest fleeing for their lives. Then Krishna took me to Dwarapa for our lavish wedding. Representing all the other 16,100 queens, Rohini Devi explained that they were daughters of the kings defeated by Balmasura. The demon had held them captive, but when Lord Krishna killed Balmasura, Krishna released them and married them all. Chapter 84. This chapter describes the arrival of great sages at Kurukshetra to observe the auspicious occasion of a solar eclipse. The chapter also describes the sages' glorification of Lord Krishna, as well as Vasudeva's enthusiastic performance of sacrifices. On the occasion of a solar eclipse at Kurukshetra, exalted ladies like Kunti, Draupadi, and Subhadra got the chance to associate with Lord Krishna's queens. Seeing how much Krishna's consorts loved their husband, the ladies were struck with wonder. As the women talked among themselves, and the men did likewise, great sages headed by Narada and Vyasadeva arrived on the scene, desiring to see Lord Krishna. The various kings and other leading personalities who were sitting at their leisure, including the Pandavas, Krishna, and Balaram, stood up as soon as they saw the great sages. The leaders all bowed down to the great souls, inquired about their welfare, and worshipped them, offering them sitting places, water, and so on. Then Lord Sri Krishna spoke, "Now our lives are successful, for we have obtained the goal of life. That goal is the audience of great sages and yoga masters, which even the demigods only rarely obtain. The water at a holy place of pilgrimage and the deity forms of the many gods can only purify someone after a long time. But saintly sages purify just by being seen. And those who identify themselves with their bodies and neglect to honor such transcendental sages are no better than asses and cows." After hearing Lord Krishna speak these words in the mood of a mere mortal being, the sages remained silent for some time because they were bewildered. Then they said, "How amazing our Lord is! Krishna covers his true identity with his human-like activities and pretends to be subject to superior control. Surely this Krishna has spoken in this way only to enlighten the general populace. And such behavior of Krishna is indeed inconceivable." The sages continued to glorify Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the Supersoul, and as the friend and worshipper of the Brahmanas. After the sages had praised Krishna, Lord Krishna offered them his obeisances, and the sages begged permission to return to their hermitages. But just then, Vasudeva came forward, bowing down to the sages. "What activities can one perform in order to be freed from the bondage of fruitive work?" "By worshipping the Supreme Lord Hari, through the performance of Vedic sacrifices, you, Vasudeva, will become free from the bondage of fruitive work." Vasudeva then requested the sages to act as his priests, and Vasudeva arranged for Vedic sacrifices to be performed with super excellent paraphernalia. Afterward, Vasudeva presented the priests with valuable gifts of cows and jewelry, and also with marriageable Brahmana girls. Vasudeva then performed the ritual bath marking the end of the sacrifice and fed everyone sumptuously, even the village dogs. Next, Vasudev gave ample gifts to his relatives, to the various kings, and to all the others, who all took Sri Krishna's leave and returned to their own homes. But, unable to depart because of his intense affection for his relatives, Nanda Maharaj remained at Kurukshetra for 3 months, served with reverence by the Yadavas. On one occasion, Vasudeva began to describe the deep friendship Nanda had shown him, openly shedding tears. And at the end of 3 months, Nanda left for Mathura with the fond farewells of all the Yadavas. When the Yadavas finally saw that the rainy season was about to begin, they returned to Dwaraka, where they related all that happened at Kurukshetra to the residents of their capital, Dwaraka. Chapter 85. This chapter relates how Lord Krishna imparted divine knowledge to his father Vasudeva, and along with Lord Balaram, Krishna retrieved his mother's dead sons. Having heard the visiting sages glorify Lord Krishna, Vasudev ceased to regard Krishna and Balaram as his sons and began praising their omnipotency, omnipresence, and omniscience as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And after glorifying his sons, Vasudev fell at the lotus feet of Krishna, begging him to drive away the conception that Krishna was his son. But instead, Lord Krishna restored that very conception, instructing Vasudev in the science of Godhead. And upon hearing these instructions, Vasudev became peaceful and free from doubt. Then Mother Devaki praised Krishna and Balaram, reminding them how they had once retrieved the dead son of their spiritual master. "Please fulfill my desire in the same way. Please bring back my sons who were all killed by Kamsa so that I may see them once again." Entreated in this way by their mother, the two lords, Krishna and Balaram, went to the subterranean planet of Sutala, where they approached Bali Maharaj. King Bali greeted them respectfully, offering Krishna and Balaram seats of honor, worshiped them, and also recited prayers. Krishna and Balaram then requested King Bali to return Devaki's dead sons. Krishna and Balaram received the boys from King Bali and then returned them to Devaki, who felt such a surge of affection for these sons that milk began spontaneously flowing from her breast. Overjoyed, Devaki fed the children her breast milk, and by drinking the remnants of milk once drunk by Lord Krishna himself, the boys regained their original forms as demigods and then went back to heaven. Chapter 86. This chapter describes how Arjuna kidnapped Subhadra and how Lord Krishna went to Mithila to bless his devotees, Bahulashva and Shrutadev. When King Parikshit desired to learn about the marriage of his grandmother, Subhadra Devi, Sri Shukadeva Goswami said, "While touring on pilgrimage, Arjuna heard that Lord Baladev intended to give the hand of his sister, Subhadra, to Duryodhana in marriage. Wanting to kidnap Subhadra and marry her himself, Arjuna disguised himself as a sannyasi and went to Dwaraka. So effective was the disguise that neither Balaram nor any other resident of Dwaraka could recognize Arjuna. Rather, they all showed Arjuna respect due to a Vaishnava mendicant. In this way, the 4 months of the rainy season passed. One day, Arjuna received an invitation to dine at Lord Balaram's home. There, Arjuna caught sight of Subhadra and was immediately overwhelmed with desire for her. Subhadra also desired to have Arjuna as her husband, and thus Subhadra glanced back at Arjuna shyly. A few days later, Subhadra left the palace in order to participate in a chariot festival. Taking this opportunity, Arjuna abducted Subhadra and defeated the Yadavas who tried to stop him. At first, Lord Balaram was greatly angered to hear of all this. But when Lord Sri Krishna and other family members pacified him, Baladev became joyful and sent the bride and groom off with elaborate wedding gifts. There was a Brahmana devotee of Lord Krishna named Shrutadev who lived in the city of Mithila. And by the will of Providence, Shrutadeva could earn only barely enough to keep himself and his family alive. And still, Shrutadev was always satisfied and spent all of his time executing religious duties. In the same city of Mithila, there was another great devotee of Krishna known as King Bahulashva. A member of the dynasty in which King Janaka had appeared, Bahulashva ruled over the whole province of Videha, and yet Bahulashva remained as detached from material wealth as Shrutadeva. And pleased with the devotional attitude of both of these great souls, Lord Krishna went on his chariot to Mithila just to visit them, taking along Narada and several other learned sages. The people of Mithila greeted Krishna and his saintly entourage with great delight. Bearing various gifts for Krishna, they bowed down and offered obeisances to both Krishna and the sages. Bahulashva and Shrutadeva both stepped forward and respectfully requested Sri Krishna to visit their homes. To satisfy both of them, Krishna expanded himself and went to each of their homes simultaneously. They each worshipped Krishna suitably, offered prayers, washed Krishna's feet, and then sprinkled themselves and all their family members with the wash water. Lord Krishna then praised the sages who were with him and glorified Brahmanas in general. Krishna also imparted instructions to his hosts concerning devotional service. Understanding these instructions, both Shrutadeva and Bahulashva honored the sages and Lord Sri Krishna with single-minded devotion. And then Lord Krishna returned to Dwaraka. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare. All glories to Krishna book. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.